the water table. This is one part of the trilogy of papers about land and people. The other two authors are Leah Salter and Gail Simon. The paper is part of the special issue for murmurations.cloud, the issue called The Ecosystem Returns, Volume 4, Issue 1, 2021. My name is Lisen Kebbe, a systemic therapist in Sweden on the island of Gotland. I was drawn to write this paper mostly because of the frustration with the breakdown of democracy in the legal and political process in all of Sweden. When Heidelberg Cement wanted to renew its permit to extract limestone and on Gotland, and almost no one cared about the ecological threats the huge mining leads to. The water table. In this second paper in the trilogy of land and people, I write from within living and changing landscape as a local resident on the small island of Gotland. I am a systemic organization consultant and a psychologist working on the island where I was born, where I grew up, on the land of my family's farm. In this short paper, I tell some systemic stories, facts and narratives and politics, each of which might make some sense in its own context. But when put together, you see a systemic story, a disaster movie, actually, of an ecology under attack through the dominance of business-motivated narratives over indigenous knowledge of the land and local history. So the plot is about what happened when a cement factory tried to renew its permit to extract limestone on Gotland and make cement for another 20 years. It is a tale of an extraordinary battle between narrative and materiality at local, national, and international levels. The bedrock. Gotland is a long, thin island in the Baltic Sea. It's part of Sweden. It's fairly flat. What's it known for? Well, the capital, Visby, is a medieval city, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. We have a medieval fair. The island hosts the annual Politikens Week in Almedalen. It has a beautiful coastline. The northern end is a small boat ride away to Fårö, where Ingmar Bergman worked. His house is there. The southern end has Gotland sheep with their grey-blue curly coats. As you travel around the island, you see woods and farmland. 93 medieval churches built with limestones, windmills, and lots of tourists in the summer. Farming and tourism are the main industries of Gotland, along with limestone mining. Limestone is the bedrock of Gotland. The stone originates from the Silurian period, around 430 million years ago. During the Silurian period, there was a shallow sea where Gotland is now located, and the climate was tropical. At the coastland, there was a rich wildlife. Over time, animals died and fell to the bottom of the sea. Their remains created a reef. After some more millions of years, the water covering the reef disappeared, and the island of Gotland, built of these limestone reefs, appeared. We often see the sea lilies, trilobites, octopuses, and corals, among many other creatures or plants, fossilized in the bedrock. The limestone bedrock is between 500 to 750 meters deep. It is a kind of stone you make cement out of. And Gotland has the best limestone for cement making because it is clean. The strata are only made up of limestone, very few layers of clay between them. This and closeness to the sea for its easy shipping is something highly prized. Limestone has also been the main building material for farmhouses, barns, and also the houses in the town of Visby, which has a ring wall around from medieval times. So the limestone bedrock and the use of it is obvious, proud and integrated part of Gotland's identity. Now you have the story. The scene is set. The lime kiln. There is a long tradition of using limestone for buildings on Gotland. It has been done for at least 1,000 years, from the time when the first medieval churches were built. I read somewhere that the Romans started it in England. Villages would have their own small quarries and a kiln where the limestone was heated. A tower of 5 to 6 meters high. People stacked the stone in it, lit a fire and heated the stone at 800 to 1100 degrees for 3 days and nights. Then, when they took out the burnt stones, they poured water over it so it exploded and to be grounded into powder. Then you have the lime to use as mortar cement. But there is also a long history of export, not huge, but it was part of the humble local economy. The first written documents is from 1460, where limestone, lime, wood and tar was shipped to Danzig in Germany. Earlier, Visby had been an important member of the Hansa Union with a lively trade in the Baltic, Holland and England. But the lime production seems to have started later by the local people on the countryside. The production and businesses were growing during the centuries all over the island, and out of this also grew some fairly rich businessmen that there hasn't been before, as there has never been any nobility on the island. But at the latter part of the 19th century, the smaller businesses disappeared and was replaced by larger facilities. There was an increasing interest in the unique quality of Gotland limestone. The engineer Lundberg, who had studied the limestone, said, "It is without doubt that the raw material is of particular interest for making Portland cement, even better than in England. The stone can be fetched almost without any cost, and there is enough stone for many hundreds of years. There is a good site in Visby to build the factory on. The cost for building is small and the salaries are low." With these good predictions, three industrialists from the mainland of Sweden started Visby Cementfabrik in 1885. So the modern efficient production started and has developed since then. In 1919, the plant in Slite was built. Slite on the north of the island has the best stone. They built the factory on the harbour so the cement could be poured directly into the ship. Everything was set for big business. At the time, there was 10 different cement plants in Sweden. Today, there are only 2, and they are both owned by the multinational Heidelberg Cement Company. And one of them, the Slite factory, produces today 75% of all cement used in Sweden, plus some export. Earth, fire, air, and water. There has been much focus by local people and politicians on reducing the CO2 emissions on the island. The second worst polluter in the whole of Sweden is discharged by this plant in Slite. Only a steel plant in the north of Sweden puts out more pollution. Whatever else we local people can do here on Gotland to reduce carbon emissions is nothing compared to the pollution by this factory. As reduction gets bigger and bigger, the effects of it gets worse and worse. The industry people feel the pressure. They start to talk about green industries, such as steel, which could work with zero pollution. They start to talk about zero pollution at the cement factory too. In fact, the factory made many changes to reduce the pollution, but two main problems remain. Firstly, when they heat this enormous kiln, they don't use a few pieces of wood like the farmers used to do in the small kilns. They use rubber tires, hundreds and thousands of burning rubber tires. They have good cleaning filtering as they can, but it's not just the fire that creates the pollution. And just to say that when they consider heating the stone with electricity, the energy needed is enormous and would take an extra cable from the mainland of Sweden, which would cost billions and paid by the state people. The second contributor in the process of making cement is the actual extraction of the limestone from the ground. Quarrying releases CO2 amount for 2/3 of the release of the whole process. Then they propose that this problem will be solved by catching the CO2 and transporting it by boat to Norway, where there are plans for storing CO2 deep beneath the sea. All big plans that are still at an experimental stage and will take at least 10 more years to complete. No doubt, with new piecemeal problems to resolve. The talk of producing green cement makes politicians very happy. It will put Sweden on the map, they say. We can be the first in the world to produce zero-emission cement. This greenwashing has taken all the politicians' parties by storm, except for the very small feminist party and the local Green Party. Our politicians are set to let the multinational business from outside of Sweden with cement plants in more than 50 countries around the world do whatever they want. Secondly, there is an even bigger problem that the business people and the politicians don't want to talk about. The quarry affects the whole of the north of Gotland in other ways, fundamental ways. It's national infrastructure. It affects the water table, the water we drink, and the groundwater that keeps all of nature alive. No one talks about that. That would still need to take the stone out of the ground also with green cement. This is already having terrible repercussions for groundwater. The rock is porous. Human cannot predict which way water will go or track where it goes. It doesn't just go down, it goes sideways, it travels in many directions. No one can see what it does to water, the water table, when they just dig out these massive holes. But when they disturb the ground, it affects hidden systems. The water comes out where it shouldn't, and it leaves areas of the island without water. The land gets dry, wells dry out, crops fail, industries cannot manage. Then it gets even worse. The salt water from the sea gets into the rock and contaminates the remaining water for drinking and water for nature. It's a huge problem. In recent years, politicians always have said, water first, protect water, conserve water. But then this happened. Realignments in the landscape, the grinding up of truth and law. The cement factory submitted an application to renew their license to mine at Slite for another 20 years. The local green activist of Gotland challenged the renewal of the quarry's license in the court. Those defending the stone company said no one can know for sure what affects the groundwater, and it is impossible to predict it if or how the water will be affected in 20 years of time. The Supreme Court in Sweden refused the renewal, citing a lack of proof that the groundwater would not be affected by continuous extraction. They didn't get the permit. It felt like a great victory for local activists and a huge relief. But there are appeals. But then two unexpected things happened. Firstly, all politicians at national level from across all the parties, including the Greens, started to defend the quarry's application. Businesses which use cement in Sweden, builders, infrastructure, developers, and other industries stood up as one person. 300,000 to 400,000 jobs will disappear. The whole economy of Sweden will decline. The Slite factory provides the whole country with cement these days. Secondly, one local politician went further. He said, it is a catastrophe for the whole country if the company doesn't get its license renewed. We cannot have the Supreme Court make pronouncements about the cement productions that the whole nation depends on. We have to change the law. And all the parties from left to right agreed. They kept repeating all the time, we have to change the law. Only the local Green Party on Gotland and the National Feminist Party spoke out to support the decision of the Supreme Court. The National Green Party opposed the Supreme Court ruling too. They all backed the quarry. We couldn't believe what we were hearing. The Ombudsman declared it was not correct to go against the Supreme Court, to go against democracy, but they don't have any power to order what should happen. They can only reflect on the situation. We feel we are seeing the end of democracy. Singing as activism. The threat to democracy prompted singer-songwriter Vera Kebbe, one of Gotland's activists, to write and record a song in which she parodies the phrase, we have to change the law. But guess what? The radio station, which normally play her songs, refused to play this one. They were scared to go against the establishment, although many reporters sympathized with her. The only places where these subjects are discussed is on Facebook and on the letters pages in the local paper. And once in a while, there is an article in national papers by a professor in biology or former Green Party leader and the like who speak up to challenge what is happening both to the ecology and our democracy. Vera sings, all industries are panicky. They never thought this could be. And politicians getting frightened want to lend a hand instead of finding another way. And they say, go flat out with the bulldozers. Wreck UN principle number 7. Change in laws are in session. Go flat out for industries and jobs. Well, Gotland was nice, but its water will sacrifice. Studying local businesses, business ecology. The national politicians in coalition with the national construction businesses said they were concerned about the closure of the quarry resulting in enormous unemployment, the decline of businesses and the end of all construction projects in the country. That narrative is weak. Heidelberg Cement makes cement in more than 50 countries around the world. It could be imported. Then politicians say, we have the cleanest methods here, so if we import from China or Tunisia, the industry process won't be as clean. And it's a long distance away. Transporting it will be bad for the environment. But there is a factory in Poland which is the most modern and sophisticated in terms of an environmental friendly production. And there is cement production in all Nordic countries, according to Heidelberg Cement website. And of course, there are other companies who also export cement. We have heard that big construction companies on the mainland are already investigating where to order cement from. They are not sitting back waiting. On Gotland, there are 240 persons working at the plant. Beside those 240 workers, there is around 400 entrepreneurs having their main income from the cement company. And of course, a closure would be a challenge for the island. But how has the island coped in the recent past with industrial closures? The Ericsson factory closed down, making 1,400 people redundant. More than a couple of thousand people lost work from the military bases closing. Large dairy and sugar factories have closed down. Still, Gotland has the lowest amount of unemployment in Sweden today. What saved Gotland's social economy is all that small businesses who have taken in these people, plus some governmental inputs. Gotland has a business ecology which is so far seems to have coped with much larger major changes than the closure of this cement factory. The history of changes in employment is very important. It's like a natural ecology in business, in the community. The unemployment is like the hole in the ground. Water will run into it and fill it. There is a natural restorative response. Gotland's ecology is robust. until interfered with by outsiders. Then the theory of homeostasis fails. So the unemployment then is not the reason to risk the groundwater. Fixing and tweaking an epistemological errors. The next strategy then by politicians and the cement factory is to propose fixes. Fixes to individual problems. Cleaning the water for drinking, for example. The top four politicians of Gotland said that it is possible to clean the water in the quarries so it will be fine for drinking. But they don't realize, or choose not to think of, that this is not a simply a human drinking water problem. But what else would still be threatened? The groundwater is required for life, for everything, for nature, animals, everything that is alive, including human beings. The cement factory says a huge amount of the groundwater pours into the big holes as they dig, so then they pump it out into the sea. No, they say, they can save the water and clean it. But we have water in the Baltic, which isn't that very salty, and the distillation is already happening in two places on Gotland. Making water drinkable isn't a big issue. It is the total ecology that is threatened. So then some of us discuss whether we even need the big amount of cement. On Gotland and all over Sweden, all the houses and roads are made using cement made into concrete. And cement is used in many processes and industries as well all over Sweden and the world. At 2021 Venice Architectural Biennale, Well Alvor made an installation in a UAE pavilion which provided an alternative to cement made of saline waste. They no longer talk about cement. Cement is finished. It's recognized as environmental unfriendly. An architect friend from Berlin said, cement is out. It's from the old world. So there are alternative ways of building, and perhaps we don't need to build so much, or not with lime. Extracting limestone, an example of the anthropocentric assumption that we can help ourselves to things around us, the material lying in the ground. Just because humans can walk over it or mine it doesn't mean it is over for the taking. We humans need to get over ourselves and see how we are part of an ecology in which people and land and rock and water are all interconnected. But capitalism shatters that connection. The stone becomes a commodity and separated from its locality and destroys the local ecology. There are great earnings for some that have been doubled year by year, partly through incorporating all the smaller cement factories and then closing them down to centralized production. It is obvious that this complex situation does something to our ability to reflect on our situation. Capitalism take over our moral voice and becomes our highest context. This makes a lot of people say, I don't know, I sympathize with both sides, and then put the very problematic question out of their minds. The narrative of zero emission cement takes all the politicians by storm. This factory has been here for 100 years, and we can see it's still here in 100 years to come, the CEO recently said at the 100 years anniversary. The groundwater in Gotland is struggling to compete. The national economic interest in the cement production and the waving of the greenwashing flag makes all politicians short-sighted. Not only the national, but also the local ones. The groundwater is not visible in this equation. What happens to people when decisions are taking place really high above local people's heads? What is becoming visible is a polished face of raw capitalism entangled with politics which would mobilize us to protest, like Greta Thunberg and friends standing outside the parliament. But not much happens. There is a feeling of alienation. The questions are so complicated, they say. Even people who usually have clear visions and opinions. We are in the middle of this right now. It's on the table for everyone who dares to watch. The question now is how we can find a voice that can carry and express our worries and show how Mother Earth suffers and take a stand to save our ecology. We need to free our minds to be able to reflect. To be able to reflect and get hold of our agency.
För då blir det gasen i botten på bulldozen. Nu ska miljöbalken rivas, nu ska lagar överskridas. Gasen i botten för jobb och industri. Ja, Gotland var väl fint, men deras vatten offra.